This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud. We never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting. Not clashing, not at all. But see, my nigga went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one, pass them. Drip, drip, drop. There goes an orgasm. Now you coming out the side of your face. We tapping right into your memory bank. Thanks. So click at the ticket. Let's see your seatbelt fastened. Trunk rattling like two midgets in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag. Make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all wanted that 808. Can you feel that BASS, babe? But I know y'all wanted that 808. Can you feel that BASS, babe?
That is the multiple Grammy Award winning hip hop group Outkast. Their brand of wordplay, gospel, and funk redefined the sounds of the South in the mid-90s and crossed over to mainstream audiences in the early 2000s. While their impact on hip-hop is undeniable, a college professor thinks the duo's relevance transcends the genre. Regina Bradley is assistant professor of African American Lit at Armstrong State University in Savannah, Georgia. She designed an upper-class English course called Teaching Outkast and the Rise of the Hip-Hop South, which is happening this semester. Dr. Bradley, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me. Yay, I didn't want you to turn off the music.
Boy, I wonder what class must be like.
I'm telling you.
Well, you are a longtime fan of the group, but how would you describe the band to someone who doesn't know them?
I would be like, you don't know Outkast? That'd be my first response. Second response would be, so Outkast is one of the most iconic Southern hip-hop groups, and they're iconic, one, because of their music, but also because they were the first recognized Southern hip-hop group in the early 1990s to kind of break through. You know, it wasn't like a, hey, welcome. It was, they were literally booed off the stage at the Source Awards in 1995. So they paid their dues.
Well, why? Because Southern hip hop was not yet recognized?
Well, because a lot of folks, especially folks in New York, thought there was no such thing as Southern hip hop, let alone any kind of hip hop outside of New York. But, yeah, I mean, like, they fought to be recognized not only as a legit hip-hop group, but also they talked about things that were relevant to Southern folks. And a lot of the issues and concerns that they were talking about didn't translate in the same way as they did for New York. So if you were from the South and you're talking about Atlanta, which at that point was not known as the transient city that it is today, it was on the cusp, if you will, then, of course, they're like, oh, Atlanta's still country and it's backwards and Black folks in the South, they don't know anything about hip-hop because hip-hop is considered urban and slick and full of wordplay.
Well, and they really made it. There's this song, which is now, I would say, a staple at weddings and home dance parties. That's Hey Ya by the band Outkast, and we're talking about a class that our guest Regina Bradley, an assistant professor of African American Lit at Armstrong State University, is teaching this semester. Well, Regina, you mentioned the regionalism, that Outkast is from the South, but what makes this band worth studying?
Well, I think it's really fascinating how they move their ideas and articulation of Southernness out. So when you first introduce to them on their first album, which is titled Southern Playlistic Cadillac Music, they're talking about the city of Atlanta, and Atlanta is kind of central to their idea of the South. And then on their second album, which is ATLians, they start to move away from that kind of geographically located idea of Southernness. And then also are kind of clapping back, if you will, at being rejected at the Source Awards. So they have ATLians, and then when they get to Aquemini and the Stankonia and eventually Speaker Box Love Below, their ideas of Southernness is more of a cultural concept instead of something that's geographically located, which often when we have these conversations about Southernness, we kind of try to stick to the physical region of the South. But what Outkast does so beautifully and also with really great experimentation is that they move or force the audience to reconsider what they think Southernness is using their music. The Pope and his folks got us under the scope, but for unknown reasons, because we don't sell dope that you distribute, we don't contribute to your clandestine activity. My soliloquy may be hard for some to swallow, but so is Carl Liver, or you went behind my back like
Pluto when he cut up all the poor. Two things I hate, lies and thieves, they make my blood boil. But we're constricted on my soul that they call
Wheels of Steel.
You see that transition really well, kind of marking through their catalog as it develops.
Speaker Box Love Below, that is a double album that, did that one win the Album of the Year Grammy?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
It was the first rap album to win Album of the Year back
huge,
in 2004.
Huge success. Have you had a lot of students sign up?
We currently have 20 students. The class was full by the second day of registration. So I'm like, y'all love me. Y'all really love me.
Now, would anybody who doesn't know the band want to take it?
So I do have a couple of students who are like, I have never heard of Outkast. So I'm like, oh, so you really took the class because you love me, right? So, I mean, ultimately what it is it's a popular culture studies class using literature as kind of the foregrounding for that analysis. So I have students who are like, I don't really listen to Outkast or I don't really listen to hip-hop, but they wanted to come in and try something different. They wanted to kind of see what all the hubbub was about. And I think that's really great. And I also try to make sure that those students are comfortable when we have these conversations as well.
One of the things that I hear in the band is a kind of vulnerability and openness about love and respect for women, at least in their later work. I'm thinking of the song Mrs. Jackson, which is about the mother of Andre 3000's partner, Erykah Badu. After they broke up, he's apologizing to her. So how do you think they fit in with in those frequently well-deserved charges of misogyny in hip-hop?
So Dr. Treva Lindsay has a term that I absolutely fell in love with when she told me. It's called melodious misogyny, which means that there's these really horrible things that are being said about women, but it sounds so good, so we'll give it a pass, right? And I'm not here to say that Outkast is perfect. By far, they're not. They definitely have misogynistic moments, and it might be that kind of lower-level misogyny. But what I really can appreciate about them, and this is something that I write about in my book, is that you can see a development of their ideas and attitudes towards women shift, right? So if you look at Southern Playlistic, Cadillac Music, and you look at ATLian's Jazzy Bell, for example, there's a particular type of respectability that black women have that they were seeing, or that they felt that a lot of young Southern black women didn't have. And then you have, like you were pointing out, in Stankonia with Miss Jackson, so now you have families, right? This is the post-Badu moment for Andre. And you can kind of see that influence. Big Boy has a daughter now. He's married, right? So you can see that kind of influence. And then when you think about the Love Below, it's almost like it's an existential question of where Andre fits into the experiences of black women, because he samples his mother. He interviews his mother. He talks about God if God was a woman. He talks about all of these things that focus on the experiences of black women, and probably most importantly, uses their voices to do so.
I was scuffling going to school, I was scuffling and working at night. And you know what? I truly believe, and that's why I tell a lot of parents, single parents, don't tell me what God can't do. I made sure you had. I never felt like you should be deprived of anything. If a man didn't want to take care of his child, you move on. And that's what I did. I moved on.
It's interesting, you know, that kind of continuous development of what they think. Of where women fit into their own narratives, but also allowing room for women to speak for themselves, literally speak for themselves on their albums, is really important.
So this is a hip-hop band that crossed over, right? So what does that do for the understanding of the band, or does it take away anything in your mind?
Well, one thing that I think about is when they did their reunion tour in 2014, their first performance was at Coachella. And I was so bummed that I couldn't go because Coachella.
Sunshine, California, spring, great outfits.
Yep, and a whole lot of money to get there.
Right.
And they went through their entire catalog. They went from album to album to album. And the one thing that I saw as I was watching, because clearly I had it on my, you know, full speaker blast system in my house, listening like I was at Coachella. But after they performed Speaker Box and The Love Below, which they hadn't done because they stopped touring after that album, people started leaving. And I was like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving? Because folks weren't familiar with anything really before Speaker Box and The Love Below and Hey Ya and I Like the Way You Move, right? And I think that that's particularly important, how they're being remembered in popular culture. And it's unfortunate if that's the starting point for a lot of folks, which it really is, because arguably, I mean, they had crossed over before, but I mean, the Duel album made them a pop culture sensation. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's Outkast. But it's kind of unfortunate because they did so much great work beforehand. And I think that that part of their legacy is kind of overlooked in favor of the Grammy Award-winning Outkast.
My relationship with my folks is give and take, and I done took so much, and I give it my glory. To have a choice to be who you want to be is left over to me, and my mama damn told me.
Dr. Regina Bradley is with us. She's teaching a course about the hip-hop duo Outkast at Armstrong State University in Savannah. So this is American Studies course, and you said this is the literature of Outkast. So what's on your syllabus? Are you breaking apart, deconstructing songs?
Yeah, so one of the first activities that we do in every class is they do a critical listening activity. So I pick a song from the album that we're focusing on for that unit, and we listen to it, and they break down the lyrics, they break down the musical accompaniment, they break down if they hear ad-libs, if they hear silence, you know, kind of, you know, what do these things signify, and what are they trying to do in order to present a particular type of message. So that is the pop cultural part. The literary part is they're actually looking at contemporary Southern Black writers who have said in previous interviews that they have been influenced by Outkast music. So for example, we are looking at Key S.A. Lehman's novel, Long Division. And the opening of that novel starts with a lyric from Andre 3000 in the album Aquemini.
Twice upon a time, there was a boy who died and lived happily ever after. But that's another chapter live from.
So particular songs, we'll listen to those and think about, you know, this idea of storytelling and how Outkast interpretation of storytelling can be extended into critically analyzing what Key S.A. Lehman is doing in his novel. We're also looking at Jesmyn Ward and her novel Where the Line Bleeds, mm-hmm. And that also points to Southern hip-hop. And we also have critical part of it, because it is an upper-level English seminar. We're looking at Dr. Zandria Robinson's book, This Ain't Chicago, which is her theorization from a sociology perspective of what it means to be in the South and be Black after the Civil Rights Movement. She calls it the post-soul South. So it's really interesting in kind of connecting those things together. And we are finishing the semester with Stankonia and Speaker Box, The Love Below, and thinking about how their influence has influenced other Southern popular culture representations of Blackness. So Donald Glover's Atlanta, for example. Mm-hmm. So we'll be looking at Atlanta, looking at the visualization of what some of those things look like, and also looking at their film Outerwild. So trying to cover almost all the bases. You can only do so much in one semester, but at least kind of showing students it's more than just the music. There's an actual cultural impact that this group has had in very profound ways.
Well, I will listen to them much differently, and Regina, I thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed our conversation.
Regina Bradley, she's a writer, researcher, and assistant professor at Armstrong State University, where she is currently teaching Outkast and the Rise of the Hip-Hop South. There's more on the class and a link to her Outkasted Conversations podcast. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Between Saturday night and early Sunday morning, I don't know, I'm somewhere stuck in between.